Good morning, everyone. It's Saturday, March 12th, 2022. And in anticipation for Resurrection Sunday, we're going to switch gears today to focus on the dedicated service of our Savior and Lord during his earthly ministry, even to the laying down of his own life. You know, there are so many virtues that he displayed in making known the Father. And our prayer is that in doing this, each heart will be stirred, refreshed, or reinvigorated to minister in his stead until he returns. The strategies for considering and meditating upon his life, they are endless. But looking at him as a shepherd is guaranteed to touch your soul. In John chapter 10, verses 11 and 14, two times Jesus referred to himself as the good shepherd. In verse 11, he says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." And in verse 14, again, "I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine." So, Jesus didn't say he was just any shepherd. He said he was the good shepherd. And it's in the sense that he was fully fit. He was committed in his relationship with the Father to be exactly as a shepherd ought to be. He was about his Father's business with a wellspring of love and truth. A year or so ago, a dear minister whom we've known for many years sent us some information regarding a book by a Charles Edward Jefferson. It was published in 1912, and it's entitled The Minister as Shepherd. Well, I went to work and found a PDF file online and devoured it. Larry and I just loved reading it. So if you have interest in reading the book, let me know. I'm very happy to email a PDF file to you. Pastor Jefferson's chapter on the shepherd's work, it was so inspiring to me, and he lists seven duties of care the Eastern Shepherd provided for his Father's flock. And I want to use his words. We may change them to my own words as the teaching goes along, but to quote him, the seven duties of care were watchman, guard, guide, physician, savior, feeding, and loving. Now, we have to realize that the industry of the day in Palestine was raising sheep and cattle. But in Jesus' words, he was the good shepherd. Why not a cattle herder? There is a unique distinction between getting sheep where you want them to go, and getting cattle to your desired destination. While cattle are driven from behind, sheep are led from the front. They are followers, and they rely totally on being led. Even sheepdog, they don't drive the sheep. They just work from the perimeters of it to kind of gather the sheep from wandering. They don't do anything. They don't lead them or drive them. They just complement the shepherd. Jesus led all those who chose to be led by him. And here's how it worked in Matthew 4, verse 18. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. They were fishermen. They weren't sheep herders. They weren't shepherds. In verse 19, and he, Jesus, saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. New profession. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. So then, fast forwarding, at one of his post-resurrection appearances, Jesus revisits Peter's dedication to his past profession in 21:15. So when they had dined, this is on fish that Jesus had cooked for the fishermen, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, Lovest thou me more than these? And he's speaking of the fish they were eating. He said, Peter? He, Peter, said unto him, the Lord, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto them, Feed my lambs. You know, Jesus knows that his time is getting close. It's at hand. And he appeals to Peter, When I'm gone, are you going to really return to the fishing business? Or will you be a shepherd of my sheep? Speaking, of course, of his father's flock. This word for feed represents a shepherd's primary duty, and that is to promote the welfare of all of the sheep. Well, the spiritual version of that would be to promote the spiritual welfare of others. And lamb is symbolic to those new to the faith. Jesus saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, Lovest thou me? He, Simon, saith unto him, Jesus, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Well, in verse 16, the word for feed is actually a different word from the previous verse. It is all the things of the previous verse, but it adds to it the aspect of governing the flock, making those decisions for leading, nourishing, and cherishing, where the shepherd minister is deliberate in his supplying for the needs of the soul. In verse 17, Jesus saith unto Simon the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved or made sorrowful because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, Feed my sheep. Well, feed in this verse is the same word as in verse 15. So Peter agreed to fulfill his calling as shepherd minister, to promote in every way the spiritual welfare of all, the new believers, the maturing ones, and those who were seasoned in the word, every single person. It could be said that Peter had some stumbles along the way, but what a great-hearted shepherd he was. At every reproof, and he received some reproof, right? Both before the day of Pentecost and in the years following, Peter received plenty of reproof. And realistically, that is true for each of us. But we always have to remember the reproof is not a negative word. Proverbs 13:18 says that one who regards reproof shall be honored. Absolutely. Proverbs 15:5 says, Ones who guard reproof are prudent. Peter had nothing to be ashamed of. And you know, you think of how he stood for our Lord on the day of Pentecost to deliver that first sermon in the church administration or in the administration of grace. You know, his shame would have been to despise the reproof and instruction. But he didn't. He always came around. Well, back to our Eastern shepherd. The first on the list of duties for the shepherd was to watch. He was accountable for the safety of the sheepfold. At the end of the day, he wanted every sheep accounted for. After all, this was a family business, and there were daunting enemies that came in many forms from every direction. Well, for those of us like me who have watched cowboy movies, the most obvious of enemies are thieves. They're just simply out to rustle away a herd of animals, and they are even willing to kill the shepherd if he gets in their way. The next ferocious enemies that come to mind are other animals. Remember, as a young shepherd, David shared with King Saul how he watched his father's sheep. And there was occasion to save them He had to kill a lion and a bear. 1 Samuel 17, verse 34. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep. And there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by the beard and smote him and slew him. You know, those shepherds belonged to David's family, and he had no intention of losing even one of them, nor losing his own life. Where we live in Indiana, neighbors who have chickens have to prepare for the air attacks by large birds of prey that would swoop down and claim their best egg layers. Just had that happen this week. Then, if robbers and wild animals aren't enough to watch out for, think about weather. The weather there was always threatening destruction with either flash flooding or drought. I recall a time when Larry bought a couple of sheep to keep in a meadow so they would keep the grass eaten down. Well, one morning, Larry had been outside working and he came back inside and was so adamant. I had to find a place that would take our sheep before the day was over. Well, that was no small request, but by mid-afternoon, a man who had a nearby petting zoo said he would come and get the sheep. Well, much to our surprise, the pretty day clouded over, and by 9 p.m. that night, a flash flood came foaming and roaring through that meadow like a freight train. You know, had the sheep been there, they would have been swept away. We would have never seen them again. You know, we never saw their fencing or their housing again, ever. We have no idea where it ended up. To this day, that sense of urgency to get those sheep somewhere else, it amazes us. But it was because Larry was watchful. In the Gospel of John, chapter 10, Jesus said, and this is just in the sense, in this context of being the good shepherd, Jesus said, the thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. And, of course, in that very next verse, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. Well, first of all, the shepherd is to watch. Now, these are according to the works of this gentleman who wrote this book, The Shepherd Minister. There, you can look online. Sometimes you look at commentaries. There's 5 things a shepherd does. There's 10 things. But this particular man, it's a real easy concept to work off of. It's a great format for presenting it to you. So I'm not saying that this man is thus saith the Lord, but it is, we're just looking at the life of an Eastern shepherd to see the qualities of care, the virtues that a shepherd has. So first of all, the shepherd is to watch. Now he is watching what? He's watching the sheep. That's where his attention is focused. His attention is directed upon the sheep. He knows the sheep. He's aware of enemies of the sheep. So he keeps himself prepared. So he is ready and agile mentally and physically. In an instant, with whatsoever he might need to take care of for the sheep. Look at this in Luke 12, verse 39. And this know, that if the goodman or the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken through. So the message here is loud and clear. We don't know when. The devil does not send us notice. We watch. We keep ourselves mentally agile. We are prepared for anything, anytime. And being in that state of readiness, we keep our focus on our service in the body of Christ. We don't keep our focus on the devil. We don't sit around thinking about him all day. How's he going to screw us out of the more abundant life? That's not it. I do want to go back and quote from the first teaching of 2022. The name of it was The Purpose of the Wisdom of God. So, Ephesians 3:10, New English Translation. The purpose of this enlightenment is that through the church, the multifaceted wisdom of God should now be disclosed to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly realms. These rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms are the same as the principalities and powers spoken of in Ephesians 6:12. They are the spiritual wickedness in high places. In keeping with the ultimate context, the ultimate purpose of this enlightenment is that through the church, the one body of believers living as described, God's multifaceted, manifold, variegated wisdom would become known to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly realms. The word for multifaceted indicates a great variety, as in cloth or painting. Something multifaceted makes itself a great, manifests itself in a great variety of forms. And that ends the quote from that teaching. But we watch, we're mentally agile. Our focus is on what our calling. It's focused on what we are doing. And then the word within us does the work. That variegated. It's what we need when we need it. So that's the perpetual state of readiness that we desire in our watching. We aren't sitting around, like I said, imagining what the enemy will do next. No, we're busy putting on the mind of Christ. We're busy thinking those thoughts which are above. And then with the Holy Spirit communication to us, the variegated wisdom of God, we are able to live life unshackled. And we work that within God's family, within God's flock. We're on spiritual watch. 1 Peter 5:8 is a great admonition. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. This verse, of course, is speaking of spiritual sobriety, so that we can be calm and collected spiritually. And within that mindset, we aren't afraid, but we are actively circumspect, not to be overtaken. Ephesians 5:15 says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, with the wisdom of God, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." There is the exhortation to walk according to the wisdom of God. You know, think of all the master of the house had to reclaim to get his household back in order. You know, it took time when he could have used his time here and there to be ready, because he doesn't know when. Fellowship with God saves time. Fellowship with God is efficient in every aspect of life. So for the shepherd, he had perhaps even more subtle attacks from within the sheepfold. The sheep, the lambs, gee, there could be stubbornness, wandering, curiosity. They were sometimes sick or diseased. And sheep aren't known for their kind of clumsy, so they're always having accidents. They fall in pits. They wander away and fall off a cliff. But Paul warned of the enemy within the sheepfold in Acts 20:28. "Take heed, give attention. therefore unto yourselves. So first of all, we take heed unto ourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore, watch. Taking all this into consideration, watch and remember. Remember what I said, that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. So, for ourselves, for our fellow brothers and sisters, for those young in the Word, even for those who have been around a long time, we keep watch without and within. Our watching and vigilance, it isn't out of fearfulness. That's not our focus, but it's from our understanding of God's instructions. And here again, isn't motivation always the key? It is possible that someone would think they are watching, but it is just out of fear. You know, they're shaking in their boots. But it's kind of just like someone might, quote, love, unquote, God, but it's basically out of their fear of the alternatives. But for those who love and trust God, we watch because we delight to do his will. This author of this minister as shepherd, he says, the journey from the cradle to the grave is hazardous. Isn't that the truth? So watching is a critical responsibility of the shepherd, literally and metaphorically. Our watching is a combo of physical and spiritual awareness, but the foundation is knowing the Word of God and his power that we have through the name of Jesus Christ. And our personal relationship with God, with our family, within our fellowship, we're charged to watch, to observe, to listen, and most of all, to keep the Word in our hearts and allow it to discern the error before any destructive process takes us in its grip. Matthew 26:41 tells us, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. So laxity in watchfulness, it allows the enemy to tear our lives apart, but it's over time. It's so slow that we don't even notice it. And then it culminates and it comes like a flash flood. So we watch. What thoughts are we entertaining? Or better stated, what thoughts are entertaining us? David entertained himself thinking about God's testimonies. I just read through Psalm 119 this morning, and you know, he meditated in the Word. He respected what it had to say, meaning he did it. He had regard to it. He prayed God would open his eyes to behold wondrous things out of the Scriptures. He didn't ever consider himself alone. No, he considered the Scriptures his counselors. They comforted his afflictions. And he said many occasions, had they not been my delight, I would have perished in mine afflictions. And like Peter, did David miss the mark? Of course. But he says throughout Psalms, he brought himself back to love and trust God. And the appreciative thing I have for David is, He had no qualms, no misgivings about hashing things out with God. The good, the bad, the ugly. He had no reservation about going bare with God and asking him to do for him. And really, a lot of times when he least deserved it. But he always brought himself back. Well, our Lord, who called himself the Good Shepherd, he certainly watched. The Gospels is full of them, but I just loved this particular one in Matthew 9:36. It's just an exemplary verse of all that the Lord did. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Now, Jesus saw the multitudes with his physical eyesight, but in his mind, he computed what he saw with his eyesight, but the Word was at work on what he saw. You know, the Word is that filter for everything that we receive through the five senses. Through the Spirit of God, he perceived that these people were scattered with no one to shepherd them. The heart of this shepherd, this good shepherd, had compassion on their situation. They had no one watching for them. They were like sheep, no one leading them, no one looking out for their welfare. And throughout the Gospels, record after record of Jesus shepherding those who would be led, his heart of service was fully engaged in watchfulness for the things of God to be experienced in the lives of others. So next, we'll look into the aspect of the shepherd's guarding, or we might call it protecting. He definitely guarded, protected. So our love to you all. God bless.